Yeah. Uh-huh. Listen up. Yeah. I can see you're new to this. You ain't got no job. You ain't got no experience. You're entry level. You ain't got no qualifications, baby. You're entry level. Your entry level. Your entry level, baby. Your entry level. Ooh, yeah.
If you're feeling overwhelmed lately, you're not alone. Start feeling better with a single message. Talkspace Online Therapy matches you with a licensed therapist from the comfort of your device. Get $100 off your first month with code Brooks at Talkspace.com. Yo, welcome to this week's episode of Entry Level. I'm here. He's here. Nick Turner. His baby's in the room. Say hi, Otis.
Otis is contractually not allowed to talk because you couldn't meet his demands.
What were Otis's demands? Oh, so Nick's here. That's Nick Turner.
Hi, Otis. I'm a Hollywood dad now.
He's a Hollywood
dad.
I'm a
stage dad.
He's a stage dad. How old, how many days old is Otis that I'm looking at?
Well, he's 25 days old, but okay. I'm telling agents he's 18 days old. I don't want to miss any newborn opportunities.
Right, right, right. Well, this must be big for Otis. It has to be his first podcast he's been a part of.
No, he's actually been a part of Get Rich Nick, but sure, I guess, you know, this, you know, it's a big moment
for him.
It must
be exciting for a baby to see how the magic, how it works.
Slightly different audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my audience buys T-shirts, they just get them when they come. And when your audience buys T-shirts, I get emails.
Yeah.
About where they are.
Tell me about what happened. So
wait,
what? You texted me that somebody bought a skeleton shirt.
Oh, no. I didn't want to tell that story. I changed my mind.
You don't want to dunk on someone who bought a shirt from you?
No. Well, I mean, they're listening. They're a nice person.
Okay.
Someone, I don't know.
This person's not wrong.
It's a fine story. It was someone was like, hey, where's my T-shirt on Twitter? And I was like, you know, it takes like a month sometimes. And
you have a 25-day-old
That's
human.
What's going on.
Yeah.
I put on the thing. It's like, it might take 30 days.
I have a
but
tiny
But no one
human.
Reads that. Yo, okay. I don't have a tiny baby. I don't know. This isn't my job.
All right.
I don't do it. Really, I got other stuff to do sometimes. Anyway. And then said, actually, can I, on an email, said, mm-hmm. can I cancel? I don't want to talk about this.
No, do you have to now?
Okay. She said,
you didn't need to say, wait,
I want
a
refund. Sure.
This could happen to anybody.
No, yeah. I don't think that matters. She said that her cat was sick and so she wanted a refund for the shirt because she wanted to put the money towards her cat.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that's the right move.
I think it's a great move, and that's why I changed my mind about talking about it, because
she actually had a good point and she was right.
Yeah.
And you need to get faster at getting these shirts out.
Well, I don't think either are true, ultimately.
I think you need to get faster getting the shirts
out.
Can
we redo this intro?
Nope.
God.
We will not. So,
I'm just
how is
trying to work on my image.
How's being a dad?
Being a dad is fantastic. Everything they say about it is true. It's the joy. It's joys that you've never experienced, and no downside.
There's no downside to having
not
a
that I've heard
less
of.
Than 1 month old baby.
No, I mean, maybe I get a little too much sleep because I'm so tired from all the
here
joy.
Here he goes. He's about to go off again.
Yeah,
he just screams. I did get to. I held Otis. We hung out.
Yeah.
Otis hung out.
Lyra and I debated for a while, but ultimately we let you hold him.
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you how he behaved. He just took a big crap on me.
Oh, yeah.
But in his diaper, so it's okay.
Yeah, he's still in that diaper, right? Maybe he, yeah, would you mind changing? Our nurse is here. Lyra Smith.
Okay. As much fun as it is to talk about Otis, enough. He has not made me laugh one time. I feel that way. Like, he's not funny yet. He needs to step up his game.
What if he's never funny? Isn't that like a dad's worst fear? What if my son, you know, can't do Seth Meyers?
Well, I mean, to be in our crew, you need to have done it.
You want to run with the boys?
Remember when? Okay, so remember when I did Seth Meyers, and then he came backstage, and you told him, oh no, we went up to get drinks at 30 Rock, and he was up there, and you said, hey, I've done your show, and he goes,
yeah, I was just like, I don't know, man. We're up there in the Rainbow Room. Mm-hmm. We're at this, you know, fancy bar at the top of the world, and there, who else?
Was you, me, Tim Robinson, and Zach Cannon.
Yeah.
We're having fun.
And so obviously everyone else knows Seth very well. Mm-hmm. And I'm just standing there. Mm-hmm. I got nothing to add.
Nothing.
I'm just a guy who it sucks to not be a part of the conversation. Right. But I'm like, look, I'm not some piece of shit. I did your fucking show, asshole. I was the second stand-up on that show.
After Michael Che.
Well, that's actually not true. I was asked to be the second stand-up. Okay. I was too busy because I had a life then, a career. Things were going well.
Okay.
And so I pushed it back for a few months. So when I did it, I did the fucking show in the first few months. Mm-hmm. So then I said...
So then we're upstairs.
Oh, also, during the set... or after the set, I knocked down the microphone stand.
Right.
And then so he comes over and I was like, oh, sorry about the microphone stand. And he's like, oh, it's fine. Knock it over again. So at this point, the mic is in the stand. And so I knock it over. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm sure I broke that thing. Yeah. It was like $600. They probably had to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So I say, I was like, oh, I actually did your show. And I wanted to say, sorry for breaking your microphone. Mm. I told him the story. And then, his response was something close to,
I remember. Even-
and then he turned to Tim. He's like, so tell me more about your future show. I think you should leave.
Yeah, exactly.
I want this guy to know I'm in a conversation.
But it was a fun night. We had a good time.
Very fun night.
We hung out last night. We were over at Tim Robinson's last night. We rode bikes.
Yeah.
We had drinks. You talked to you about being a dad.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah. Inside scoop. A lot of people don't know this. Tim Robinson loves his kids.
He does. If you can imagine, nice dad. But then you and I, last night, we drive down. Okay, actually, I was a bad friend yesterday. I will be honest. I'll come clean to you on my podcast that I misrepresented how we would do the show last night. We were booked on a show in Huntington Beach. I said, hey, Nick, do you want to do the show in Huntington Beach? Dan Bialek's putting on. He's a great producer, great comic. I'll drive.
We'd already gone to Newport Beach to do that.
We'd done it once before. I said, this one's better. We'll go do this one.
I have one question. How are all of the beaches... near LA, exactly 1 hour away.
I don't know. It's just how it works.
It's crazy.
So, but then I end up riding bikes and drinking in the middle of the day, if you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And then I keep pushing when we're gonna leave.
Yeah. So you told me you were gonna pick me up at 5. That's like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So I say, great. I got ready. I made myself a to go drink. I don't know if you can. This is a full drink.
Okay.
I made myself a to go drink. Got a little bag together. Was out on the porch waiting for Brooks. Like it's my first day of school. Wait for the bus.
This is currently also at this moment. I'm at a brewery with Summer, Tim, and his wife Heather. Who?
Yeah. I'm just like saying goodbye to my baby. Like, sorry, I'm gonna be gone. Daddy's got to go to work. But Daddy loves you. Go sit on the porch. And then Lyra ordered food because she thought I was going to be gone. So her food was like coming. I had to watch her eat dinner. But so then I called you and I'm like, hey, what's going on? You know, nothing. I text you. Oh, nothing. I'm like, hey, sup? You know, I'm really laid back. And then you were like, how about I pick you up at 6? I'm like, well, that's so much later than when you said you're going to pick up. That's fine. And then. A little while later, you say, hey, can you pick me up? Can you drive? Can you also come pick me up at Summers, which I looked is 20 minutes away.
Yeah, she does not live near us.
So that was like, it's so much farther. And also, I'm driving at all. I also have my notebook. I put 3 pens in my bag in case the pens didn't work because I wanted to write on the way down. You know, get a set. Let's get some. I had some, you know, new baby thoughts that I wanted to just order before I say them. So then I was like, it's 20 minutes. And then you're like, no, man, hold on. Let me call you back. I'll come, you know, like I'll come pick you up or whatever. And I was like, I don't need you to drunk drive me to the beach. I will drive.
I would not have drunk drive. I'd had 3 beers.
Come pick me up at Tim's. I'm like, that's great. It must be closer. It is not. It's the exact same distance. So we went over to Tim's and watched Cry Macho.
Which, what is Cry Macho?
I don't know what it is, and no one does.
Okay.
It's Clint Eastwood's new movie.
I know, but he's like 111, and he's in a movie, and it's crazy. It's basically just like, let's watch this old guy.
Yeah, isn't it crazy that Clint Eastwood never got Me Too'd? There's no way he did it on the level.
Right, you're right. Yeah, no.
I bet he did a lot of things at gunpoint.
In my head, I'm like, well, maybe, and then I realized there's no way.
Yeah, actually, he couldn't be Me Too'd because he already went evil.
Yeah, he was like, he's like a bad guy.
The empty chair thing.
What do you do?
At the Republican National Convention, he's like, there's the president, he's in an empty chair.
Woof.
Yeah, it was really weird. It didn't really make any sense. It was a big deal.
He's a hardcore Republican?
Yeah.
The 91-year-old millionaire?
Yeah.
I can't believe it. All right. Well, now that we're all up to date on, but the show last night was super fun. Is he wearing a ween? So your son?
No, it's Weezer.
Oh, he's got
a Weezer onesie.
A Weezer onesie. A Weezer Z. I don't like it anymore. I thought it was ween. All right. So,
well,
we had
ween
fun.
Ween sucks, buddy. I'm sorry. They're a little cool. They got a couple of quirky songs. I want to ask you how many times you've thrown on Ween in the car, and everyone just sang
"Baby Bitch." Everybody loves it. That's a great song.
Sing it.
Baby bitch. I don't know how it goes.
It's that Push the Little Daisies and Watch Them Come Up song. That's the only song anyone knows.
Ween rocks. Weezer has Pork and Beans. Congrats. Your favorite band sucks.
Pork and Beans. That's the average Weezer song.
Yeah. They're okay. Junk now. All right.
Now.
Let's get.
Yeah.
They are. Of course they are. Every band sucks. You only get 2 albums and then you gotta die. Okay. I'll tell you who I'm excited to go see. You know who I'm going to see Tuesday, tomorrow?
God, is it some old piece of shit?
They're not. These guys freaking rock.
Oh, God, I hate them.
Kings of Leon tomorrow.
Boo!
Boo you. Boo you.
That band sucks.
That band rocks.
Of course they rock. Everybody knows that.
I cannot wait. My favorite band in college, Kings of Leon. I would listen to, so when I lived in Iowa, I would wake up every day and I would listen to California Waiting from Youth and Young Manhood. Yeah. It was their first album. And because I was trying to move to California every day. Hey, California.
Yeah.
Every day I listened to that song till I moved to California, till I got my engineering
job. California Waiting.
It's great. Guess what? Now they're buds of mine. And I go to their shows and it rocks.
Wow, right? That's great.
That's the coolest thing.
Well, everyone knows now.
I'm excited. I cannot wait. I've seen 3 bands recently. Uh-huh. Went and saw Local Natives.
Great.
They rocked.
Wow, that's great.
Then I went and saw Future Islands.
Yeah.
Good. Then I saw not as good as Local Natives.
Well, they're not a good band.
They're a great band. What are you talking about?
Well, we've talked about this recently. I would have preferred Future or Islands or them together.
Look, good band. Local Natives crush it. Then I saw Sylvan Esso, great. Really fun. Local Natives wins. Local Natives, best live band
best
I've
band.
Seen. Yeah, one of the best concerts I've ever seen. Not even lying. All right. So let's get to this week's listener mail. Which, Nick, are you excited? Are you excited for this?
About listener mail this week? Honestly, I got a lot going on. I don't know if I'm excited about it. I think I'll get into it.
Guys, we need more listener mail. Just a heads up. So email entrylevelwithbrookswheelan@gmail.com with your terrible job stories. We need them. This is the only one we got this week. But I like it because I hate it. This is how I responded to this listener mail before I even get into it. Thanks for sending this in. And just so you know, I hate this story.
Come on.
I did. I hated it.
I'm already not into
it. It's about snakes and the workplace.
Oh, you hated it.
I hated it.
Oh, I thought they hated it.
I hated it because it made me uncomfortable. Okay?
Okay.
So this is from Lucy. She goes, I emailed a while ago about how the school I teach at in Mississippi was briefly full of snakes. Thanks for reading it on the podcast. It made me laugh. I had another snake incident last week I wanted to share. You work in a snake school. There's snakes in the school all the time.
Yeah.
If I catch a snake in one building, I'm done with that building.
Would you say it was coup?
Was not coup.
Not coup. Okay.
Not coup. Not coup. If I ever see a snake somewhere, a snake's not supposed to be, aka the garbage, I'm done with that. There was a path I walked. So when I was living in Iowa City, I would walk through. It was like a grass patch that had like a little trail through it that would cut 2 minutes off of my walk to class. I saw a snake in it. Never took that path again. 3 years.
Yeah.
Two more minutes every day because I did not want
to. You know
see
where the
snake.
Worst place for something to be is your shoe.
Oh,
we'll put a shoe on.
No.
What's going on down
stop,
there?
Stop. Stop. Has that ever happened to you?
No, but I think about it. Sarah Schaefer just posted a photo of a time like 10 years ago where she thought she had like a rock in her shoe. Just something was in her shoe all day. Ooh. The whole day. No. She's like, something's wrong with that shoe.
No.
And then at the end of the day, she took her shoe off and it was a giant roach.
Oh.
That just been in
done.
Her shoe.
Done. No, dude. I think often, here's a thing I have often. What's the closest I've ever been to a snake without realizing it?
Yeah.
I bet it's pretty close.
Yeah. You think you ever had a snake like in your bed?
Stop it.
I've definitely had a mouse in my bed.
What?
Yeah, you wake up, there's like mouse droppings.
What?
Yeah.
New York.
I lived in New York 16 years.
Yeah, I was like, I hope this wasn't as a child.
It happened.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, as a child, it was
also,
mostly wombats.
Also, how insane that like, wombats. How insane that like, I'm like, no, yeah, mice are in your bed. And like,
there's one city that everyone says is the best where, of course, yeah, well, you sleep with mice.
Yeah. It's like, no, New York.
And it costs the most.
New York rules. It's so expensive. But you're going to have a mouse in your bed.
You're going to have a couple of mice.
You're going to have mice in your bed. Okay. So Lucy continues. During my class on last Friday, so she's a teacher, a student raised his hand to very politely inform me that there was a snake behind my filing cabinet. Now, here's what I don't understand about this, Lucy. She goes, I laughed and went back to teaching. You laughed? You said a year ago your school was infested with snakes. You should believe people when they're like, hey, guess what? The infestation's back. It's not like this has never happened. So she laughed and went back to teaching. Several kids around me said, no, really, there's a snake in here. My classroom is full of 12-year-olds waiting for the weekend, instantly burst into chaos, shouting, running around, telling me to kill or not to kill. That's a I mean, whenever I don't kill a snake, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah. Well, you're not killing snakes. You're doing nothing but running the opposite direction. You're not standing up to a snake.
I saved a snake. I saved a rattlesnake in Mississippi one time. And
tell
I was
me.
Like, are you kidding? So me and Maddie Ryan,
yeah.
Shout out, been on the podcast. We are cruising around. We're driving through Mississippi on my ill-fated Brooks Wheelan Tours, the Central America. Not a great tour.
Okay. Funny name.
Right. People were confused.
Yeah.
We did. I was like, I bet Hattiesburg, Mississippi would love cool comedy. They were mediocre.
That's weird. That's not what you hear.
Mm-hmm. I thought Mobile, Alabama would dig my subversive ideas. They did not love them.
Yeah.
But so we're driving. There's a snake on a road. We took all back roads because we're like, hey, we're doing a back roads tour. Let's do back roads. It's fun.
Sure.
You know, let's like have an experience.
Central America.
Yeah. So we see a snake. I swerve to not hit the snake. Swerve.
Okay. And you're in a car and you're still scared of the snake.
But here's what I'm saying. Then we pull over. We're like, that snake's in the middle of the road. We should get the snake out of the middle of the road. It's a full rattlesnake. So I won't touch it. But Maddie gets a stick and pushes it off while it's shaking its tail and biting at him.
Why?
Because we care about nature. And
if that rattlesnake doesn't care enough about himself to get past the road, you know, he's not going to thank you.
He didn't. He tried to kill.
Yeah.
He tried to kill us for saving his life.
And is that where it started with you and snakes?
No. One time in college, I've been always very, very, very afraid of snakes. My irrational fear. One time in college, there was a snake at a party, and I left because I was like, I don't like that there's a snake in here. I fucking hate that. And then my friend,
God,
Steve,
you get a nickname that way.
What?
At a college or at a high school party?
College party.
College party. Yeah, you leave because of snake, and yeah. I was like, yo, where'd Brooks go? I guess he's afraid of snakes.
What's the
like,
nickname then?
He's a snake eyes.
That sounds like a cool nickname. I earned that.
That's the coolest nickname in the world.
Snake
That's
eyes?
That's not something you're trying to avoid.
Yeah. But at another party one time, they had another snake. I didn't know. I was sitting on the couch. This did not happen, but in my fictionalized stand-up world, I tell the story sometimes. Because here's what almost happened. My roommate, Steve, almost put the snake around my neck. Like, mm-hmm. put, you know, hey, let's drop the snake around Brooks when he's not looking.
That's rude.
Yeah. And what would have happened was I would have grabbed the, I would have thrown the snake against the wall and killed it. So the joke is it's hard to stay at a party after you kill the party's pet.
Yeah.
But it didn't really happen. It's just a thing that almost happened. And now I've ruined the mystery. All right, let's get back to this. It's a lot of asides in this intro. Okay.
Yeah, too many. I do have one more.
Go on.
Okay, so I got an email that I want to talk about. And I thought, what's better time than to do it in the middle of your email?
Mm-hmm.
I asked people to send me, emails about whether they like... whether they listen to the rest of the show or not.
Okay. The rest of entry level?
Yeah. It's like, I bet there's people out there that's just listening, you know, to the intro, okay. The good part with me.
All right.
It was a joke, and then I put it out to people to email. So, Victoria Simpson, she writes... So I'm not going to say the interviews suck, but that's what she's saying. But I will say that I listen to every intro, but not every interview. So do with that what you will.
Okay.
Thank you. Shout out to the Waller Wellness Chiropractic.
Well, Victoria, thank you for, you know, well, I'll tell you what is a great interview this week.
Oh, shit. You got one?
I got another one.
God, I'm sick of lying.
We're not done with my listener email yet.
Oh, okay.
So... she says, instead of evacuating the classroom and killing an innocent reptile, which you had every right to do, I want to say, I managed to catch the snake by its tail. What? When it slithered behind my desk. I carried it by the tail out to the grass outside where I let it go. When I got back to my classroom, my kids were still clearly excited, but were also
That's
alarmed.
Awesome.
I'd caught a whole snake in my classroom. You know how cool? You know, so they're 12, I'm guessing like 5th or 6th
You're
grade.
You're Crocodile Dundee,
yeah,
dude.
My teacher, like... This is a memory that your students will have for the rest of their life. Like they'll be hanging out at like 50 and be like, dude, my 5th grade teacher like fully just snagged a snake.
That's fucking awesome. I don't care what kind of snake it is because people have been wrong before. Yep. You know, like the number of times you're like, oh, dude, that's a garter snake. Hold on. You pick it up and you're like, it starts shaking at you. You're like, oh, no, I can't determine what kind of snakes are.
Yeah, no. I remember a lady one time that I was babysitting for. There was a snake outside. She grabbed it. It bit her. And she goes, that's fine. I go, what? You just got bit by a snake.
Yeah, that's never okay.
You just got bit
like,
by a
it
snake.
It might not be poisonous, but it's not fine.
No, she's like, oh, it's fine. It happens. You get bit by snakes all the time?
It happens. Not to me, bitch.
So she says, when I got back to my classroom, they were stoked. They went back to learning English fairly quickly. I think the whole incident kind of freaked them out, but they haven't fucked around in my class as much this week. So I'll take it. So she earned respect from her 12-year-olds.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So note to listeners, if you want your employees or students to respect
anywhere.
You.
Like snatch a prison.
Snatch a snake.
They say, you know, punch the biggest guy. I say... look for a snake to
catch
swing
a snake.
Around.
Catch yeah. a snake and be like, hey, I got this.
Yeah, and then they'll be like, damn, if he'll do that to a snake, imagine what he'd do to me.
100%. Guys, incredible email. Thank you so much, Lucy. Really appreciate it. Email entrylevelwithbrooksmeeland@gmail.com with your snake-related stories or work-related stories. We're yeah. off carnies, which is exciting. We've moved on.
And Victoria, please stick around.
Lucy. Oh, wait.
This is a really good
This is a good interview. It's with Carmen Christopher.
Oh, hell yeah.
Carmen Christopher rocks.
Oh, yeah. I saw that he was... remember when I got into all that... there was a kerfuffle at the spike ball tournament? At Nick's birthday.
Rutherford's, yes. Yes.
And so there was a game where I quit. I quit the game, and I walked over, and I went, and I told Carmen Christopher the story about everything that happened. He's like, oh, man, that's crazy. Anyway, and then I walked back, and then they were just waiting for me, and I had to get back into it. But he was there for me in my time of
if
need.
If there's one man who's going to be sympathetic to you and your irrational needs,
yeah, he just said, he was
Carmen
like, yeah, he was like, yeah, totally. What you're saying is normal.
Yes.
I was like, really?
You can go over to Carmen and be like, look, man, I just robbed the bank. He goes, that's going to happen, man. Like, banks need to get robbed sometimes. Or if you're like, dude, somebody just robbed me. Okay, people rob, dude. People. Like, he's just a good dude.
You know, you're not wrong.
He's a great guy to complain to. I had a great interview with him. I enjoyed it.
That's
guys,
fun.
I'm on tour. I'm in Dubuque, Iowa at the beginning of October. Then I'm in Dallas in October. Then I'm in Chicago.
Do you start every tour in Iowa?
Well, this is, it is getting, I'm performing a little too much in Iowa. But it's the comedy
bar. You
have
an hour of Iowa material.
Here's what I don't love about performing in Dubuque, which is where I went to high school. It's a lot of stories about me and my friends that their parents are at the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's fun to, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I was smoking weed at Papa John's in the freezer.
Yeah.
And they're like, we eat at that exact Papa John's.
You know, well, don't. It's not my fault you ever moved on.
Okay.
You never got to Pizza Hut.
Wing Street, baby. So come watch me do stand up. I'm excited. It's really fun. And enjoy. Nick, hey, check out Get Rich Nick. And shout out to Otis. First ever live audience member. It's very exciting. And enjoy this episode with Carmen Christopher. This week's episode is brought to you by Talkspace. The world is racing to get back to normal and start meeting up in person again. But after the year we've all had, getting back to feeling normal takes time. I'm back out on the road. Guys, I'm on touring. It's fun. It's exciting. But I'm on planes. Planes they're filled me with anxiety now. And it wouldn't hurt to go see a therapist and, you know, work on why my anxiety is like through the roof. I should go talk to somebody. I'm going to use Talkspace. And because instead of, you know, just complaining that Nick Turner or Summer or somebody, just like, that's too much pressure on a friend. You should get help from a professional. So I remember one time I went to therapy after SNL, if you can believe it, and it helped. It turns out you shouldn't bottle up emotions. I remember that I told John Rudnitsky, who's a cool comic, right after he did a year on SNL. I was like, go to therapy. You should right away. Don't drink for 2 years, which is, you know, what I did. But then I went to therapy. It helped a lot. So, guys, Talkspace makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist and schedule live video sessions all from the comfort of your device. You can start messaging your therapist the same day you sign up. The Talkspace app makes it easy to connect with your licensed therapist on your schedule without having to wait weeks before your next appointment. You can go anywhere and take your therapist with you. That rocks! You don't have to be like, hey, I'm leaving for the week. You can do therapy while on vacation. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine how nice that would be. All right, so start feeling better with a single message. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code Brooks. That's $100 off when you use code Brooks at Talkspace.com. That rocks. $100 off therapy. Incredible. They support entry level. This is a good product. Yo, welcome to this week's episode of Entry Level. He's here. He's outside. Carmen Christopher.
What's up, New York? What's up, L.A., Chicago, Phoenix, Arizona? What's up, Detroit? What's up, Florida? And what's up, Kentucky?
Curious places you picked. Some cities, some states, some cities and states, some just states.
Just trying to spread some love to as many places as possible, Brooks.
Well, everybody loves, you know, showing Florida love. That's, you know, everybody agrees. Best state in the world.
Went to Miami once. It was the first time I ever went to vacation alone. Went to Miami for 3 or 4 days by myself. Went clubbing alone. Went out to restaurants alone. And had a really wild, good time.
Wow. Okay, let's... This whole episode is about what led to that. What? You went... So Carmen Christopher's a great comic. A friend... I really admire his work. He's great. You'll look his stuff up if you don't know it, and you'll agree if you already know it. You agree. More importantly, you went on an alone vacation to Miami.
I went on a alone vacation to Miami. Basically, what happened was I was working. It was my first comedy job. I was writing on the Chris Gethard show, so it was like the first time I was living in New York and had money. And my friend, you know, Joe Pera, he went to Florida on a trip by himself, and I was like, if Joe's like
Joe's more of a by himself guy,
but he's also like, I was like, if he could do that, I could do that. Like,
yeah, but Joe is famously like, he likes riding the train by himself.
What train?
Like, he takes the Surfliner from LA down to San Diego to work. He just rides train.
Joe Pera?
Yes.
What do you mean?
I mean, he like, he's the only guy I know in the world. Joe, welcome to come to the podcast and refute this, that will take a train to a place, mm-hmm, and then not get off and come back. Just to work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying, to work. Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess he does like doing that shit. But I don't know. I just wanted to, like, travel alone for once. And I was like, I have a little money for the first time in New York. like first good paying
job. You mean like
$4,000
total?
Yeah, yeah, basically. And like,
which
so
is great. It's yeah. exciting to have that.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, fuck it, let's go to Miami as solo. I got a place on South Beach by myself.
Incredible.
Like a fucking balcony overlooking, you know, mm-hmm. the fucking water, looking, you know, the Atlantic, I guess is what we're calling it.
New. It's a new name.
Yeah. And it was sick. It was weird because, like, I was, like, you know, I was single at the time. So I was, like, definitely, like, interested in talking
now,
to women.
She's nice.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. At the time, this was years ago, four years ago, maybe.
Okay.
And I was, like, pumped. And, you know, I was, like, you know, at that time I was single. So, you know, I was trying to talk to women. It's really hard when you're by yourself. There's, like, groups of guys swarming.
Well,
women.
Yeah, no. And it's also, like, you're here a lot, like... Let's do it. Okay, so we're at the club. You're Carmen. I'm a girl.
Yeah.
We're Miami. Let's go. Okay, so like we're at the bar and I'm up into you.
Hey, what do you got over there? What are you drinking?
Are you alone?
Yeah. I came by myself. I came to Miami alone. I.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I just wanted to do a trip and I was like, fuck it, let's go.
Are you okay though?
Yeah, I'm really happy actually. I'm like excited to be here. Are you okay?
Let's go. Let's do this.
Wait,
wow, it
worked.
Yeah,
you tried to
get it. It worked. Yeah. You just picked me up. You picked me up.
That was awesome. I fucking killed it.
Incredible. So
yeah, I went to like clubs alone and shit. I went to the steak bar alone and like mm-hmm. ate at the bar. Had like shrimp and steak. I ordered like too much food and like I was like actively trying to talk to bartenders and like people that like ran the establishments because they like have to talk to you because they have to be nice and they were cool. And you know, I ended up meeting some people out there. It was fun. There was one night that was kind of sad. I went out to a club and it was like straight up like not a club but like a dinner club. People were having expensive dinners and bottles, but they were playing club music and I sat at the bar and drank by myself for hours and I was like, I don't know, I was just like, I want to be here right now.
I did this thing in Europe. We filmed it. It was called Laughs in Translation. And then afterwards, I traveled around Europe alone for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I went to like the fanciest restaurant in Marseille, France. And it was like I was by myself. It was like €300-400 meal.
Wow.
Whatever. I'm going to treat myself.
It's like a $400 American meal.
Yeah, $300-400 American meal too. Yeah.
Wow.
So it kind of translates pretty equally. But I remember they brought out, and I was so dumb. They brought out a little compressed thing, and they dropped it in a glass of water, and it started expanding. And I didn't know what to do, so I took a shot of it. I thought it was a fucking shot. It was a towel. I drank a towel. They put like a little compressed towel in hot water.
You thought it was like some Alka-Seltzer?
Yeah, I don't
like,
know what happened. I just drank it and then pulled a towel out of my mouth. And they...
Were you choking?
I was like, oh my God. And they loved it. After that, a lot of free stuff.
It's like a Tim Robinson sketch.
At 100%.
That's really funny.
Okay. So you and I both have done alone vacations.
I also went to Mexico City alone in October. Last
Why?
October for 10 days because my grandparents are from there. I'd never been. And I was like, this pandemic sucks. I'm going alone. I'm fucking getting tested. I'm going to like do outdoor things. It was the best vacation of my life. Hands down.
Better than Miami?
It doesn't even compare. The nice thing about Mexico City is like I knew people out there and then I was like already
prepared.
Can you
speak Spanish?
Más o menos. I could get around.
Sounds so really well is what you said, right?
Okay. I said here or there.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea. All right, but here's what's exciting about listeners for me and Carmen is you're from Chicago.
Yes.
But we both went to the University of Iowa.
That's crazy.
At the same time.
That's crazy.
Did not know each other.
No.
Met each other in comedy.
Yes.
So I want to find out more about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So Carmen Christopher, this is a job about podcast. This is a podcast about jobs. I had a beer before you came over. This is a job about podcasts.
I'm having one now, and if you're listening, grab one.
Grab one. Yeah, grab one, sit back, and enjoy this interview with Carmen Christopher. Where the heck are you from?
Okay.
And what was your first job?
I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I was born in Ravenswood Hospital. I grew up on Foster and Western. that is where I was born and that's where I'm from.
Okay, and my first interaction to you was a video you did with Connor O'Malley.
Oh yeah.
Sweet friend. Where you guys played Chicago Bros.
Yes.
Who it was just like a deep, deep fake about how you're both alcoholics and you love it.
And how we love the Cubs. Like,
but like the Cubs are your identity, but your identity is that you're both bad guys.
yeah, which is like the identity of like the people who like party in Wrigleyville.
Yeah, there's this like
they might not even know like two people on the team, but yeah, they're like, I'm going there to get fucked up.
We love the Cubs and we help each other. When you guys were moving furniture, you were helping each other move bed. I was like, this is the funniest guy.
Admittedly, like when I was 21 and 22, like going to like Cubs games was so fun because I was post college and it was like I had a job for the first time and I was like getting drunk and you would just get drunk and go to games and like be embarrassing. And I was like, I mean, obviously these are like heightened characters of awful people,
right?
But it was like, I was like, I can draw. I know who these people are. I experienced a part of this life, and I hate that part about myself, and I hate those people.
Yeah, I remember when I lived there. I was 21, and I lived in Chicago. I would commute in. I would come on the weekend stay with my friend who lived in Fullerton and Ashland, and we were at the Cubby Bear.
Yeah.
Daring a game one time to watch the game, and then when the game got out, we sold our table for like $80.
Yeah,
there's no tables at this place, you know, and people want tables, and we were just like hogging it.
Yeah,
and we're like, this should be our new job, is we'll just sell, we'll like hoard tables at bars outside Wrigleyville. And it's like, that's a really piece of shit move. Like, that was that's how we were gonna start making money.
Wait, and then when people wanted a table, you'd be like, give us like $50?
Yes, because people are like, work? Yo, what do you want? It only happened once, but people were like, we're like, yo, we're getting ready to leave. And somebody's like, I'll give you $50 for that table because we had this table. It was a great table.
Yeah.
You know, and Wrigley just got out spilling.
It's actually really smart because for those of you who don't know that have not been to Wrigley, there's people that own homes there and they rent their parking spaces on days of the game and they end up paying their rent for it or like double.
Yeah, but it's not a life you want.
No, not at all.
So I'm saying, as a shitty dude who lived in Chicago next to Wrigleyville, those characters spoke to me in a way that I was like, I think I was pretty close to that at one point in my life.
Yeah. Hey, you're pretty good at this podcasting thing. You got good energy. Seriously, I've done some podcasts, and I was like, damn, you're coming in ready to go. Are you guys listening out there? All right.
No, we got big fans.
I don't mean to break the fourth wall.
You're not. I'm just saying. But also, it's easy because, so you're from Chicago. You went to the University of Iowa. But let's get there. So you're, Carmen Christian, you're from Chicago.
Yeah.
What's growing up in Chicago like?
Growing up in Chicago was interesting. Like, when I grew up in the city, when I grew up in the city until I was like 12, I don't even know exactly, but maybe 12-ish, I was like going to a Catholic school. It was called Transfiguration. It's closed down now. And we weren't even allowed to leave our backyard. Like, the neighborhood, like, I lived next door. Basically, there was two buildings that my grandparents owned. In one of the buildings lived my grandparents, and above them was my uncle, aunt, and their three kids. And then in the building next to it was, upstairs was me, my mom, my brother, and then my sister. And then below us was, like, our other uncle, aunt, and our niece. So we grew up in, like, these two buildings next to each other.
Like, Hey Arnold.
Yeah, basically. And like, we weren't allowed to leave the backyard. Like, they put up these big black fences, and like, my grandparents' like place got broken into a few times. But, you know, I never felt scared or anything because it was like, we just had a huge family there, and it was it was just nice. It was fun. But I do, like, it's all you know, but I do remember fighting was like a big thing in my neighborhood and it at schools, and I thought fighting was really cool.
Dude.
Because okay. I didn't know. I didn't know. It was like a way for attention.
So I went to the South Side Parade. I'm jumping forward. So I go to the University of Iowa as well. I have a lot of friends from Chicago by going to Iowa, a.k.a. guys like you.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to Chicago with them freshman year for the Chicago South Side Parade. These are from Brother Rice.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun time.
And it's really the first time I ever saw just like, hey, we got to go fight these guys.
Always. Everybody's like trying to be macho as fuck in Chicago. It's crazy.
Genuine, real fights.
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah,
for
yeah.
Just sober. No, I've never seen sober morning fights.
No, there's
it
like
it was
a,
crazy.
It's like a thing of pride for Chicago people to fight somebody for no reason and win. It's like really silly. I eventually we moved to the.
Why
the
did you live? Why did you live in that like compound like that with the, your grandparents? Like, how did that happen?
My grandpa was from Mexico City, and he like came here. He immigrated here like. With nothing, he had to like build up enough money to go back and actually get my grandmother to come too.
Well, that's how it works. By the time it gets two generations apart, we think we should do comedy.
Yeah,
like, we don't need to work anymore.
Let me tell my grandparents struggle so yeah. that I don't have to.
Yeah, exactly,
it's crazy. It is funny. I do watch a lot of stuff, and people are like, "My grandpa, my mom did this." I'm like, "But what did you do?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why your story's not their story? But like, yeah, they like my grandparents. Like, my grandfather bought this. These two buildings, one for $20,000, and I think the next one, like 10 years later, for $50,000, mm-hmm. in Chicago. And he was like, "I just want a place for all my kids to live and my
That's
family
great.
To cook." So I mean, like, yeah, my mom, my parents got divorced early, and my, you know, we like, I think it was like easier for her to like rent wise. Like, I'm sure, I don't know if my grandma charged us to live there or what, but like, she was raising three kids, so like. I'm sure that was a lot, and you know, and like when she'd go to work, my grandparents would raise us, like watch us and stuff. So it was just like convenient, but eventually, like we moved.
Okay, so yeah. What was your first? What was your first job? Where was that at?
I mean, does a paper route count?
Yeah, paper route absolutely
counts.
Is that
boring talk? Everyone's done a paper route.
Everyone's done a paper route, but everyone's have different points of views on a paper route. Did you take it serious? Did you have a friend who locked you into it?
Fucking hated it. It was like $50 and like getting those bags at night and putting them into the fucking thing, putting the rolling the papers up, putting it in.
When you say putting them in the thing, you mean like a waterproof bag, right?
Yeah,
like
and then
that little sleeve.
Ripping them. I did. Oh, I hated that. So
how'd you feel about the game Paperboy? Did you feel like it was
fun?
Okay, did you? So an inaccurate description or
no, because you're just moving quickly, and then in real life when you're doing your paperboy, it's a trudge. Okay. You're trudging along and you're one paper at a time, it's not fun at all.
No.
As a kid, you don't it is a good intro into work though.
Yeah. It's a good intro into like I got to get out at real work.
Yeah.
'Cause this isn't fun.
But my first job after that, which is like just as bad, if not worse, was I worked for the town of Westchester, and it's almost
Where's
seems
Westchester?
Like a fake. It's like 15 miles west of Chicago.
Okay,
and basically, like there was this job where I had to paint curbs yellow. So the curbs that were each summer, the curbs would. Be less yellow than they were the previous year. Mm-hmm. So we would drive a school bus with no air condition, with jugs of yellow paint behind, with rollers, get out at each corner, paint each corners, drive about a block, get out and do that the entire summer. Most miserable job. Like, we all turned on each other. It was like all kids my age.
Wait, what do you mean you all turned on each other? Like,
we like hated each other. It was like 8 hours a day. We did this for 8 hours a day with an hour lunch. Like, it was straight up miserable.
Yeah, and you're not making enough. I bet 5:15.
What was that?
How much per hour?
Oh God, I mean, it must have been $11. I don't know.
Fuck you then.
That's
F
not
off.
Bad. I mean, I'm guessing. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know, but
11,
I'm saying like
eight?
We're the same age. I lived in Iowa. I'm making 5:15. Okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you put a gun in my head and you're like, you're going to make $11 an hour, that's
yeah.
fine.
Also, they gave us these like orange shirts. So it looked like we were like fucking like doing like jailed. Like we were like on like,
yeah.
you know, it was funny.
What do you mean turn on each other? Like, so at the beginning of the summer, like, hey, we're all working together. This is fun. And by the end of the summer, it's like, if I never see you again, that would be great.
Yes. There was a pecking order for sure. The guy that drove the truck was the oldest. He was like, 3 or 4 years older than me, and then like I was the second oldest, and then there was another guy who was 1 year younger than me, and then there was another guy that was like borderline, like something was wrong with him. I don't know what was happening, but like it was just like everybody like shat on each other, and it was just like mean, and it wasn't fun, and none of us wanted to do the job. We would never have hung out outside of the place.
Did you fight over music? Was that a big fight?
We listened to the Howard Stern show a lot. That's what we liked.
Okay.
And music wise, you know. It was mostly just like getting on each other's nerves. You spend 8 hours in a school bus painting curbs, like you turn on somebody. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, each day is, it's going to, we're mad at somebody else. Okay.
You know, your fucking rich friends are at the pool, you know? Mm.
Bastards. I hate rich friends. All right. So you do this. You're 16. You're in Chicago. What's next? What's happening for Carmen after that? Like, what's the next job? What brings you up to going to Iowa City, I guess?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So in high school, I was like not a very good student, but then for whatever reason, I did the equation on the Iowa folder that like you calculate, you like multiply your GPA times like your fucking ACT score. And like, I did that and I like was like, wow, I like qualified to get in Iowa. They came to visit.
Time
I
out.
Knew some like,
what yeah. do you mean that's a thing?
Yeah, there's a folder. Like, they came to visit our school, and there's
University
a
University of Iowa?
They had a folder where you can just calculate if you can get into the school or not.
Okay, so I grew up in Iowa, so I went to Iowa. And I remember the joke was because I hosted Coming at It at the Summit, and there was
fun
so many...
Bar.
There was
upstairs is fun.
Terrible bar. Wednesday night Comedy Night was great, though. The joke that worked was...
Yeah, kind of a douchey bar.
Actually. Oh, super douchey bar.
Super douchey,
called
yeah.
it the Scummit. Yeah. The joke was, how many people are from Illinois? Big cheer. I said, oh, I couldn't get into your own college.
Oh, for sure. I definitely couldn't get into U of I.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I definitely couldn't. But I mean, I had no shame in that. I was like,
no, I know.
I'm like shocked I could get into any college.
I didn't
I'm dumb
realize
as fuck.
How easy it was to get into the University of Iowa.
Oh, it was so easy.
I did not know that. I thought I was going to prestigious school.
So there was this girl who like, I like cheated off her in high school, and she was going to Iowa. And then she found out that I got into Iowa, and she was so pissed. She's like, that guy cheated off me like the last 4 years, and I'm going to the same college as him. Fuck that. So she went to Purdue because I got into Iowa. I actually changed her life.
Dude,
she changed my life.
She did the right thing.
I was
Purdue's
so,
a good engineering college.
When I found out about that, I was so mad and I like hated her, but I was like, I'm looking back. I'm like, no, she's so right. I was like
Iowa
being sensitive.
I did not know it was a dumb college.
Oh, it's a very dumb. Well, I mean, here's the thing is, it's easy to get into. It's really hard to stay in.
Yeah, Iowa City is a difficult
it's
city.
It's really hard to get into some of the colleges. Like, getting into the business school is kind of tough.
Okay.
And, like, I think there are good programs. Like, the writing program is really good. I don't know why I didn't do that.
I had no idea. Well, sorry. Maybe you can agree with me on this. I did not know Iowa had a strong writing program. Until
I graduated.
No,
yeah.
Until I played a guy on Girls who worked at the Iowa Writers Workshop.
Really?
Yeah, I only found out through being on Girls that Iowa
so
had
funny.
A Writers Workshop. I was like, wait, what?
I know. I wish I had. I took a creative writing class in Iowa, and it was my favorite class. I was like, damn, I really like this. And then I was just done.
Yeah. Well, anything. How would you know? Because okay, let's talk more about being from the Midwest. So, why did you go to Iowa? You just like you like.
I went into Iowa because I knew some older people that went there, and I was like, I can get in here. And then I went to visit with my stepdad, and my stepdad
cool
actually.
Cool stepdad? You have a cool stepdad?
Yeah, he's cool. Yeah, he's cool. We don't agree on everything, but he's
cool.
I mean, and he's like helped push me in like the right direction.
Similar
with
me and my dad, like cool. We don't agree, but
yeah,
means well.
For sure. For sure. Oh, yeah, he means well, for sure. He, like, coached my basketball team when I was young. He was cool.
My problem with my dad is gave me false belief I was good at sports.
Oh, really? You're not good at sports? You look like you could be good at baseball.
I was good at wrestling, but nothing else. But
tall
was,
wrestler.
Yeah, well, that was just my short brothers. But he made me think he was my baseball coach, so I bat at third and played first base until he wasn't my baseball coach. And, like, you don't play any. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like,
you
gave me false confidence, my man.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually suck at this game.
Well, that's nice, though. You want that because you want to learn, like, the fundamentals of sport. You want to learn, like, camaraderie and, like, team, like what it's like to be on a team. I think playing sports is good when you're young.
Absolutely. So you went and visited Iowa with your stepdad, who rocks.
Yeah, it was cool, and it was a beautiful campus. It was, like, to me, it was like something out of the movies. Like, I'd never been to a college campus before, and it was just like, if I get in, let's go.
And I'm not like a hardcore Iowa. I like Iowa. I like Iowa wrestling, but I like Iowa City more than anything else. I think the city of Iowa City is
amazing.
Genuinely a cool, magical, weird little
town.
It's
beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful, and you know, I went in the fucking, you know, the spring, and it was like everything was green and. The river was flowing. The mountains, you know, the capital on the little hill. Yeah. I was like, this is what a college campus, like, in my mind looks like. I want to go here. And
it's like a 1950s college town.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And like everything revolves around it. The bars, this, like, they cater everything to make it easy living for the students. Like, mm-hmm. the restaurants are next door to classes. Yeah, the bars are next door to the classes.
When we went there, not to be old timers, but you only needed to be 19 to go to the bars.
Well, no, it was 18. When my freshman year was 18.
No, I disbelieve you.
You can look it up. I think.
No,
maybe,
it was
okay,
19.
It was 19.
It was 19 because was 19. Because I.
But I still got into all the bars.
Of course, because you're 18, you look like you're. They don't care. But I'm just saying, like, as
well,
a
they.
Kid,
but they set you up because you get tickets. Once you go in there, if you have a beer in your hand, they ambush you. That's
Paula. Possession of alcohol under the legal age.
Iowa City made most of its revenue by giving Paula's drinking tickets and fucking the parking tickets. That's how they made all their revenue.
Right. I have a mugshot mug. It's available on my pod. It's available in the episode description. From getting public intox in Iowa City by jogging drunk. Okay. But I do remember it being 19 because I went there when I was 18 and I allegedly couldn't get in, but I still got it. Okay. So you go to Iowa City. This has just turned into what we love. We've turned into the joke.
I love
Iowa City, but you and I basically are now like the 35-year-old versions of you and Connor sketch.
Yeah.
So you go there to do what?
I went there. Okay, this is crazy. So I go there and I'm like, when I'm in college, I'm like, I'm just here now. And I like go through classes. I choose my classes. I did not know until the end of my full freshman year that I had to apply to colleges within the college until I met with a counselor. And they're like, so what do you want to do? I was like, I don't know. I think I'm just going to like graduate. They're like, you have to pick a college to graduate through. And I was like, well, there's this smart kid in my hallway and I like him. I kind of, you know, look up to him.
What dorm did you live in?
I was in Hillcrest, which is like the athlete dorm.
No, I'm familiar. I was a quad. I was a quad boy.
Quad. I wish I was in. No, I mean, I don't regret anything. It was cool. I made friends with Matt Roth, who was like a.
He's like an NFL guy.
He went to the NFL, yeah.
Well, yeah. So, God, we're so deep on Iowa talk right now. But quad was all the kids who forgot to pick a dorm. It was just like. It was a World War I barracks.
Really?
Yeah. And we were just like.
What were the people like?
Oh, it was the best people in the world. It was everybody who didn't know you should pick a dorm when you go to college. We all forgot half the form. So you put all those guys in the same dorm, and we're just like, whoa, man.
I had so many friends after my freshman year of Iowa that, like, just – you didn't never saw them again. They like, didn't come back. Like, they partied too hard. Or, like, when I was, like – Or, like, when I was a freshman, there was a lot of, like, seniors. I joined a fraternity that ended
up
getting... What?
Carmen, I'm disappointed in
no,
you.
No, it's fine. I was only in it for 1 year.
Okay.
But it was... I didn't know how to make friends. Like, I never...
But that's,
nobody in my family went to college. I didn't know.
But
I thought
this
was, like... I learned from the movies.
You're not
I did
wrong
not
in
know.
That. But here's what rocks about Iowa City is...
You don't
fraternities
need
are not a prominent thing.
No, they're lame.
And you make friends through the guys you live next to freshman year.
Definitely.
Men or
but
women.
I was friends with those kids all 4 years. But basically, like, I did this thing because I was like, oh, this will be a good way to meet. Like, I'm literally going to this college from Chicago. I know nobody, maybe one or two other guys. And I was like, I want to meet people. In the movies, they do fraternities and it's a bunch of guys. Yeah. And so I ended up joining the fucking worst one, which was like basically like.
Wait, hold on. Was it called Phi Psi?
No, it's called Kappa Sigma.
Oh, I don't know.
We got evicted after my freshman year.
I remember some guys joined this one that I respected. And when they were like, we're in Phi Psi. I was like, but I thought you were cool. It bummed me out.
Well, dude, let me tell you about this one, though.
Yeah.
Basically, when we were going through Rush or whatever, there was like, all the houses were lame. They were like, what sports did you play?
Also, like, what does Rush mean? Like, what do you mean going through Rush?
You go through, like, you get there, like, a week early, and you, like, check out the houses, and they determine who they want, and you pick who you want, and if it's a match, you do it. But, like, people
God.
Cut people. It's lame, I know.
I respect you so much less.
I don't care. This is, like, 10,000 years ago.
I know. I mean, it's just so insane of how good of a comic you are, and you're like, I was going through Rush. I'm like,
dude,
no, you
have to understand, like, I didn't know... Like, no, like, I'm telling you right now, zero people in my family went to college.
I understand. Look, and I think it's cool you went to college, but so keep going about Rush.
So I want friends. I like people.
No, we're friends.
Okay, so, I know we're friends, but I want friends.
I'm just saying,
I get it. But you have to, all these houses, I think they're crazy, they suck, or they're too, like, dark and weird. okay, this house I go to, this guy comes out in a gorilla suit. Another guy punches through the window. It was like, I was like, this is psycho. They put on like a full sketch basically. And then this other guy comes out in an insane asylum suit and pours a beer on his head. They were like really funny. It was like a, it was like a thing where they like, I could tell they were drunk. I could tell they didn't care. And I was like, these are the funniest people. I'm going to join that one. And then I did. And by the end of my freshman year, they were evicted. Like,
I respect that.
The alumni came to the house. They counted like 27 holes. There's like pasta on the ceiling. It was a fucking dump. It wasn't like they called it a human ashtray. And so I ended up never even being in the frat because I didn't finish the thing. So it was 1 year.
All right.
But I mean, I didn't really end up hanging out with any of those people.
Well, of course not, because they're
some,
trash.
Some of the older
trash
guys.
And you're cool. Yeah. Okay, so you go to Iowa. Your job is just to go to college, you think. What did you have any jobs in Iowa City?
Yeah, I had two jobs.
What were we doing?
I barbacked at Malone's. Do you remember Malone's?
I don't. Where was Malone's?
Dude, oh, it turned into 808, but it was...
Oh, shit. I fucking know 808.
Yeah, I barbacked there, which basically it gets so busy during tailgates. I was like a bartender, and it was so much fun. And that closed down or something. Or something
well, it
happened.
808.
Yeah, it became 808. And then I
Which is just like... A quote-unquote Hawaii bar in Iowa City, which is what 808 was.
I did that, and then I worked as a marketing representative for the university, the IMU, at the IMU, which is basically like we would like come up with designs for the IMU. Like we painted it. It looks so bad that like, you know when you walk down the stairs and there's like that little food place right away? We painted it to like look like candy 1 year. It looks like shit.
I don't remember. I mean, I think you're what year did you go to Iowa?
I graduated.
What year did you graduate Iowa, I guess?
Oh my god.
2007? Eight?
That's so funny. I'm so bad with years. I was going to say 2016 and that's definitely not it.
Yeah,
it was whenever it was 2006 then?
Okay. So you were graduating the year I showed up.
Really?
So I don't remember.
Maybe it was
It does. It's unimportant, but okay. So you did all these things. You were going to Iowa. You were in Iowa City. At no point did you. When did you start thinking about comedy? Like what?
I did not start thinking about comedy until.
Not once in Iowa City. Not once when you're like.
I signed up for an acting class in Iowa City, and then I dropped it because it was across campus. I didn't want to walk every morning.
It's cold.
Yeah. And then comedy. Like I was always like, I don't know. I didn't start thinking about comedy. Doing it until 4 years after I graduated college.
All right, let's
I
get
was
to,
doing
let's,
sales.
So okay, let's get to that. Also, let's go through real quick, just because I've
also
never,
I was a DJ in college for 1 year.
Go on.
I burnt CD. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to bar back at this other place. I wanted to bartend at this other place. I was like, I already bar back for a year. I'm ready to bartend. They're like, no, we got enough. You could bar back. I was like, I don't want to. And they're like, you want to DJ? And I was like, I've never DJed in my life.
What
they're
bar?
Like, Jake could show you, etc.
Etc.
Yeah,
I loved Etc.
Did you really?
I mean, Etc. Dude, okay, I have my own Etc. stories.
But basically, they were like what I did. I got paid $20 an hour cash, and I would just burn CDs and then drink.
Etc. is a bar. Just a quick, just to let listeners know, it got shut down because they accidentally lit the bar on fire while people were on it.
Yeah, and a girl got her face caught on fire.
Yes, so they. Tried to light a drink on fire.
What year did that happen?
It was like 2006, probably. Yeah, because I remember I was around when it got rebooted.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. So you're bartending at Etc., which was like
no, I was DJing, aka playing burnt CDs.
Which I didn't know at the time because drugs. I'm from Iowa, and like we didn't know about hard drugs, but it would have been the ecstasy bar.
Oh yeah, see, and I didn't do ecstasy.
I didn't do any drugs in college at all.
I mean,
we smoked a lot of weed.
Yeah, I smoked and I did like mushrooms a few times and I probably did the bad thing, the white stuff a few times.
Well, I didn't even know, like I would have, didn't know it existed.
Yeah, I like.
It was very Iowa. Okay.
I'm glad I got that out of my system though.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm jealous about. People from big cities, they get drugs out of their systems at an early age.
I know people that like did crazy shit at like 14.
People from California are
like
done
normal now.
Yeah, they're done with drugs at like 15.
It's crazy.
Okay, so What is on Carmen's fucking DJ playlist in 2005?
Oh my God, that's a great question. And I had an eclectic list of like hip hop plus like Jackson 5 plus like club music, whatever.
Do you have any photos of this I can post to the Instagram?
Dude, I don't. I deleted my Facebook.
Me too.
Purposefully, because I was like, I don't want these fucking photos living.
Okay, understandable. All right, so you're there, you're DJing, and you're making $20 an hour for a
Bucks an hour cash.
And drinking
for free. And because I work at this bar, I'm getting into all the other bars for free and drinking at all the other bars.
Same dude owned them all.
Well, he didn't own them all, but it was like a thing where if your friends saw you working at a bar, then they hooked you up at the other bar.
Yeah. All right.
Because they work there.
And also, this is turning into an Iowa City podcast. In Iowa City, I made $50 a night, $50 on Wednesdays to host the summit. Comedy nights.
I wish we could have done. I wish I did comedy.
All I'm saying is like that $50 could last me a week in Iowa City drinking.
It
costs no money to drink there.
Wait, so I want to say this also is, so I had two jobs my senior year, DJing, marketing. I'm paying my own utilities. I'm paying my groceries. My mom's happy, you know, whatever. And then at the end, I have two classes to take over the summer. This like last business class and volleyball, an elective. And because those two jobs were gone, because it was the summer, I gave insulin twice a week, got $60 a week. And I lived off $60 a week doing insulin twice a week. That was my job.
Yeah. Okay. So do you remember the Fieldhouse $5 pitcher night, $2 pitcher nights at this place called the Fieldhouse? This place called the Fieldhouse. This is two bros broing out. It $5 cover, but then $2 for a pitcher of anything you want, including Long Island iced teas. So
it's disgusting.
I would get a $2 pitcher of Long Island iced tea and chug it and be blacked out immediately.
Yeah.
And it was like $7 to get blacked out in Iowa City. It was crazy.
It was crazy. There was nights I had so many of my friends also bartended. There was nights where I'm like, I think I went home and made money. Like, how do I have money? I have more money than I went out with. It's this is crazy.
All right, let's get to comedy, though, man. Enough with how Iowa City in the early 2000s was a haven for trash behavior.
So, yeah, I worked in sales. I got a job working in the supply chain and logistics industry, and I was really good at it. And I was not passionate about it. And there was a guy I lived one block away from.
Is this back in Chicago?
Yeah. I lived one block away from Second City, and I'd walk by every day, and I was like, I want to know what's going on in there. I started watching SNL at the time. Like, that was that, like, killer cast of, like, fucking...
Sandberg?
Yeah, it was him, like, Forte, and, like, Bill Hader, and Fred Armisen, Kristen Wiig. It was just, like, it made me really love comedy. I thought that cast was, like, incredible, and I was, like...
They were.
At an age where I was, like, looking for something different, and I felt I always was, like, making my friends laugh, and I was like, what if I could do that?
I remember finding out about, like, Sandberg, and I remember finding about the Lonely Island pre-SNL.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you ever watch those early Lonely Island sketches?
Oh, yeah.
The Boo?
Yeah,
you're just like, holy shit, these are just, like, dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
It, like, changed my point of view on how comedy could work.
Yeah. Yeah, like that cool shit was incredible when we were... Yeah, I mean, it's great. It holds.
So you're, like, figuring this out. You don't like your job.
No, I don't like my job, but it's like it's a good living and my family's like happy for me, and it's like, oof. Yeah, it was like, you know, I was at a point where I was like, you know, like, I don't know, I was making like good money, I'm like successful, I was like winning like every sales contest at the beginning at my job, new job, and it's like, this is a big company, but I was like not fulfilling. And then I lived a block from Second City. There was a guy who I knew was taking classes there. I was like, I'm funnier than him. If he could take classes, why the fuck can't I? And so eventually I signed up for classes. You know, I played it off. I like told my mom, I was like, I'm going to do this because it'll help my sales. You know, I never admitted that I wanted to do comedy. And like the first night, like we did like red ball, blue ball bullshit. Like just the lamest shit.
I took one class at Second City. We did the red ball, blue ball stuff and I left.
It was, oh, really?
Yeah.
I loved it. I was like, this is sick. No, I didn't like that, but I just loved, like, the whole improv thing. I liked my teacher, too. Or maybe I did.
Teacher, I'm sure teacher's big, but so my only, like, the reason I'm injecting is, like, I never knew, I always knew I wasn't staying in Chicago, and I was like, yo, I'm going to LA or New York, like, next year. I don't have time for red ball, blue ball.
It's It's fair. I mean, there's so much more than Red Ball, Blue Ball in Chicago. Not, there's the Annoyance Theater, which
no,
was great.
I know, but like as an idiot who loves stand up, and it's it wasn't like I was just doing. I took Second City because I was like, I should do this on top of stand up, and then they say, hey, let's do Red Ball, Blue Ball. I go, fuck you, I'm gonna go do stand up tonight.
Yeah, no, I mean that's better.
It was. I made the right choice.
I think so.
You enjoyed the idea of like, hey, I'm gonna learn improv.
Yeah, I like the idea of improv because I wanted to do like sketch and I like loved SNL. Like I wanted to try to like get on SNL, you know. Like,
have you? Did you audit? You have to have auditioned.
Yeah, I screen tested like, I guess 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know. And then I got and then I got pretty far, I guess, like last year or during quarantine.
Let's go through that. So how did that happen?
Oh, I did a, how did that happen? I did, I submitted a tape for 4 years ago and they really liked it. And then I got asked to do a showcase and I did the showcase.
Where was the showcase?
It was at the Pitt Theater. And it was like one of those shows where like, I just, you know, you leave and I'm like, I did really well. Like I just knew right away. Like I text my manager and I was like, I think I'm going to get a screen test. This feels good.
When I did mine, I woke my girlfriend up at the time. I walked her house. I think I'm going to be on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, really? And you were?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But sometimes I'm saying like you can just kind of, you're like, this went better than normal.
Yeah. This like kill. Like I killed. It was like one of those things where I was like, this was great. And I was like prepared. I was ready. And it just felt like the timing was right. And then I did the screen test.
Whose dressing room did you stay in?
I think it was Sashir Zamata's.
Yeah.
And Zameda. God, I always fuck her last name up.
It's okay.
So
wait, what was that like? This is just interesting and fun. And so you do well, and then they're like, hey, we're going to have you come do it again.
Yeah.
At 30 Rock.
Yeah. My biggest regret was not getting a haircut. My hair was too long. I wasn't like,
My only advice to anybody who goes is to take beer with you into the dressing room because you're in there a long time.
Yeah, I didn't think I did that. I'm sure you didn't.
Nobody.
I also, like, there was this thing, they, like, leave you cookies before, you know, like, in the thing. And I was like, is this some test to see if you're going to be a fucking pig and eat the cookies? And I was like, I'm not going to eat the cookies.
No,
it was stupid.
There's no test. You're giving them too much credit. So.
Yeah. I did.
You know what? Actually, pause it. I'm gonna actually be a good interviewer, and let's get to how you got there. So you're back in Chicago. Second City.
Yeah. Annoyance, IO, but I also produced my own show called Thunderdome, and it kind of popped off.
What year?
It was fun. I guess it was probably 2014, 13, possibly 2012. But it started off nothing.
Terrible at dates.
Huh? Are those wrong? Are
no,
those
but I'm just wrong? Saying. You're like 2014, 13, maybe 12.
I honestly don't know. I'm not date. I don't do dates.
It's all good,
dates.
But I'm just saying. You're right. You're right. Yeah. Okay.
But it was like it started off just like comedians, and then it ended up packed every single week with like DePaul kids because my best friend's little brother was trying to do improv. I was like, just come play sometime, and he came. And then I was like, you can come back any week you want. And like the second or third time he came, he's like, I'm going to tell my friends they're going to come. He blew it out. It was packed with these kids. They loved it. They kept coming back every week. It got to the point where Chance the Rapper started coming and like improvising with us the year before he like blew up.
Mm-hmm.
But like that's where I feel like I really like was like honing my like shit, was producing my own shit.
That's super dope. Do you know this band called Twin Peaks?
They would come. They'd come like every week.
So those dudes, I don't know them that well, but I do know them, and I think they rock. Like
they're great. They're cool.
They are like to me what Chicago is. Like,
they're very
listeners,
good.
If you don't know, listen to this band, Twin Peaks. They fucking rock. We ended up met at this music festival called Sasquatch, and we like camped near each other and got along.
So funny.
So that's what I'm saying. When you're like, because Chance and them are friends. So I'm like, this sounds like the
Twin
Chicago.
Peaks would be there every week. Yeah, they were like, they were cool as fuck.
They rock. I love those guys. Okay, so you're like working full time doing sales.
Yeah, doing sales.
But you have this like new thing. You're like, I might be great at comedy.
I always like thought I could be great. I was bad at the beginning.
Well,
like,
who isn't? But I'm like, but you have the right amount of delusion to think maybe this could work.
I think so, just because like in my mind I was like, I always can make my groups of friends laugh, And I always, and I was really good at this sales job that I didn't care about. So I was like, what if I tried really hard at something that I care about? And that was my whole thing. And I was like, I'm going to just try really hard at this. And I tried really hard. I went to like shows every night, did shows every night, like took classes and eventually got to like where I wanted to be in Chicago and then left. Yeah.
Okay. And then what led you to leaving Chicago?
I think I'd just done everything I wanted to do minus like being on like a Second City main stage, because like I just knew that if I wanted to be on a main stage, I'd have to stick around for like 4 or 5 more years, and I didn't want to like get old and be bitter. So I was like, I'm going to go to New York or LA.
It's right. It's why I hated Red Ball, Blue Ball.
Yeah.
Minute one, I was like, I want to be here 1 month, not.
Yeah.
Like, and I was wrong. I mean, I should have, you know, but
no,
it's just like.
You did great.
I mean, you all need to do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do. Yeah.
So what was the impetus to being like, yo, I'm going to bounce? Like, how did you get to that?
I was just done. Like, I wanted to move from Chicago like 4 or 5 years before.
Did you know Connor before this, or how did, because you and Connor O'Malley are like partners in a way that I really admire.
I mean, the first time I saw Connor on a stage, I laughed so fucking hard. He was older, like not older, but like, he started before me.
Yeah, he started like 18.
Yeah, and he had like come back from a cruise ship. I'd never seen him. And he was doing a scene with TJ Jagodowski. I'll never forget. It was at the Annoyance Theater. TJ's like the king of improv.
Right.
And he was screaming at him and like pushed him out of a chair. And I was like, but it was all funny. And I thought, and I'd never seen TJ like.
It's funny.
You have to deal with somebody so psycho. And I was like, this guy might be the funniest dude.
It's
it
funny
was crazy.
To see someone you really respect, and then someone else you don't know take over.
It was crazy.
The comedy in that scene, because you're like, how could anybody be funnier than this person I love?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's Connor.
Yeah, and like TJ is probably the best like improviser,
mm-hmm.
you know. But like Connor's like the funniest, one of the funniest people.
So you saw him do that.
I saw him do that, and then like we kind of became better friends. He like moved to New York because AD got SNL. And so he would come back and visit. And
Connor
he would
and AD are married.
Yeah. And he would come back and he would do my show Thunderdome. And that's how we became friends, him cool. coming back. And then I remember calling him once and being like, hey, do you think I should move to New York or LA? And he was like, definitely New York. There's like an actual comedy community here. And for
well,
what you're
if
doing.
If you had called me at the time, I would say LA. There's a comedy community in LA. Too.
That's the thing. It's like everyone's going to pick what they want. But yeah. I think I just kind of wanted to call him and get his like.
Well, I don't think anybody's wrong. I'm just saying like there's comedy communities in every city.
Yeah, for sure. There's comedy communities. Yeah. In
that's all I'm saying. It was just like if I love LA comedy.
Yeah.
But I like LA stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
New York stand-up comedy is cool. It was just like, I don't want to put my avails in it. I don't like the cellar's so fucking. I don't want to eat dinner with Colin Quinn. I
like Colin Quinn.
I do too. I love him, but I'm just, I don't know. I'm uncomfortable around him.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't. I don't love him. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know how to be at this table. I want to go back to where I know my friends.
Yeah. No, you're comfortable here.
Yeah. It's ultimately. I was just.
This is a very comforting city.
Yeah.
It feels very chill.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you quit your job? Like, what was that?
I worked in sales for 8 years.
Okay.
8 fucking years after college, and same job. I never took a week vacation the whole time I was there. I never took more than 2 or 3
what
days off.
What was the job?
In a row.
Describe it real quick.
Supply chain logistics broker. I was in sales. I was a national sales rep. Basically, if you have something to ship, I would go to you and be like, work with my company. And I mostly worked with oil companies. And I know what I'm saying right now makes no sense to anybody. And that's fine.
Are you kidding? That's the idea of this podcast. I used to be a biomedical engineer. I worked on heart valves.
Really?
Yeah, I was an accelerated wear tester at the largest heart valve manufacturer.
When was this?
2000.
You manufactured heart valves?
Well, people listen, no, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to do it again. I can talk to you after this.
I was an accelerated wear. I worked for Edwards Life Sciences, the best heart valve company in the world.
Holy shit.
That's how I got to move to LA, was that. So.
Holy shit.
That's why I made this podcast.
How old were you when you got SNL?
26. Well, it was on my 27th birthday.
Okay. Okay, cool. For some reason, I thought you were like 21.
No, moved to LA when I was 22.
Gotcha. That's better.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I earned it. I still don't feel like I didn't appreciate it. Okay, but yeah. Unimportant. So
yeah,
eight. So I worked 4 years in the industry before I got to quit and pursue comedy. You did eight.
I did eight, but the last four I was doing the job but also doing comedy, and my productivity at the job went way down. I had two assistants. I had two fucking assistants, and they were like starting to take my assistants away because I needed it because I had a lot of business, and they like they gave me the
assistants. How much were you making? Like how much?
When I was 24, I mean, I was making like $100,000.
That's so much.
When you're 24, yeah.
Dude, when I moved to Los Angeles, 22, it was $80,000 starting and a $7,000 signing bonus.
Yeah.
That's I'm 22. I'm from Iowa. Yeah, it's the most money I've ever heard about in my life. Sick.
And also for the record, like 3 years ago, I made like probably like $30,000.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm saying I'm having a better year now. I took a pay cut to do SNL.
Yeah.
Like legitimately.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
but crazy. Like I like my life now.
Of course.
So better. That's all I'm saying. I was like, we're not bragging because it's like we didn't. No. We're not rich. We're just like we had this moment.
My whole time in New York City, I lived in New York for 7 years. Mm. I had minimum two roommates, minimum the whole time. Like I did not like you know what I mean. Like I was like getting by.
It's also tough coming from a Midwest family where it's like, hey, you went to college and you got this degree and you're choosing not to pursue money. Like, that's frustrating for
exactly,
your family.
Exactly. They were like, what the fuck are you doing? They remember they like were like, how much will you make doing an improv show? I was like, $0. They were like, no, you're not doing that. I was like, yeah. Oh, I think I am.
I luckily got to quit my job the day I got SNL, which is hard to fight as a family.
That's a really cool thing.
But you moved to New York to pursue comedy, but it sounds like you got to keep your job. And
No. I quit my job.
You stayed in Chicago 8 years?
Yeah, man.
Shit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the only reason I stayed those last four is because I started doing comedy. I wanted to move to L.A., and then I did comedy, and I was like, actually, the smart move for me personally seems like I should go to New York.
No, to get out of Chicago is a smart move for anybody.
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad place. It's a great place to get good at
comedy. There's no jobs.
It's an incredible place to get good at comedy. But you do eventually do need to leave.
You have to leave.
You have to leave, become Hannibal Buress, then you get to come back.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you moved to New York. I'm already gone. So I left New York before you got there.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, let's start wrapping up, but how did New York work to where you killed it that SNL audition?
Oh, how did it work? I mean, I was just doing so many shows. I had the Chicago experience. I had the Chicago, like I like got all the
Chicago the guys look out for you when you leave.
Yeah,
when you move to a new city. When I moved to LA, the Chicago dudes looked out for me.
Yeah, Connor and Gary were already in New York by the time I got there. I lived with Gary, and you know, I like met people quick, and the shows I did, I was like good immediately because I had the experience, and like I kind of stood out as like not a new bad guy, but a new guy who's funny, and just worked my way up. But like, yeah, I was doing characters and improv a lot, and the Annoyance Theater opened there. I was doing a lot of shows there. I was just like ready to go, and that went well. And I obviously didn't get hired, but like,
well, okay, so whatever. So let's get back to you. How did you get the audition? Like, how did that happen?
The initial
SNL audition.
Oh, my manager. Oh, I was like a Comedy Central comic to watch.
I did that.
And then my manager like kind of used that to be like, can he submit a tape? Okay. And then I submitted a tape. My tape was really good.
What was your things?
Oh, my God. I just did a lot of characters. And then I also did a Lin-Manuel impression.
Well, what was your characters? That's the only thing I care about.
Oh, it was this guy named Angel Rodriguez or whatever. His name is Angel Rodriguez or whatever, and he was just, like, stupid. He, like, all my characters are stupid. He, like, talked dumb, and he was, like, kind of, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like he was kind of a gangster. I like, based it off my brother a little bit. He probably doesn't know that, whatever. But then there was, like, also a...
Do a little Angel Rodriguez.
No, I won't
no,
do that.
No, dude, give me a second. Come on, man. Just like, a second.
I can't. Like, I literally can't.
Do a
like,
second
I
of even, it.
Like, I don't want to. I think one of my jokes was...
Do it.
My jokes was like, fuck, what was it? It was like, if we can get a alligator and a giraffe to have sex, then we could bring back dinosaurs.
Dude, man, I like it.
Yeah.
I'm proud.
It was just a lot of dumb jokes. Is like, and it was me trying to like, I forgot what the, I forgot how I contextualized
it. They kind of dig that. I mean, I got hired off a guy who was convinced, you're right. I forgot what it was too, but it was a guy who, I don't even remember. It was a Boogle. I don't even remember. It was a guy who got B's and G's confused, and when they asked him a question, he goes, "Oh, I don't know. Why don't you Boogle it?" Uh-huh. And it was like, it's exactly the same thing. They're just like, "All right, this charismatic psychopath."
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is like, on paper, I'm like, these jokes sucks, but I went so hard.
You just commit. I mean,
so hard.
Yeah, that's okay. So you go, you do the audition.
Yeah.
You're in New York. You're now like testing for SNL. That's fun. It's cool. It's the reason you moved there. You don't
really
get it. But
it was the reason I started comedy, if I'm being honest.
Me too, man. Yeah. Like, I got some heat because I tweeted Norm Macdonald honestly was the inspiration for me to get fired off SNL. I tweeted that. And I don't mean like he's why I tried to leave Saturday Night Live.
Did you recently tweet that?
Yeah, I tweeted like yesterday because he died.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And I mean, like, without Norm Macdonald, I would have never tried to do Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
So he's what inspired me to eventually be fired off SNL. I'm not saying like I tried to, I wasn't being cool. I'm like, Norm Macdonald's why I got to be fired off SNL. Like, without that guy, he's why I do comedy.
Do you know why you got fired?
I mean, I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, we don't have to do that.
Yeah,
I'm sure you already did.
It's its own fucking beef. Because that show sucks. That's why. Because that show's junk. No, but I still respect it and respect people who do it. And it's fun to hear people's journeys that get like do the thing. Like, they go through the process because the process is wild.
For sure.
So it doesn't happen, but things are rocking and rolling for Carmen. What happens then?
Oh, man. I didn't get hired. I was bummed. And I actually had a feeling. I was like, they're not going to hire me this year. They just learned who I was. Maybe they'll hire me in like a year, 2 years, whatever. And then I was up for like a bunch of other jobs. Like, I was up for like potentially like the Tonight Show. There was like a short list, and then like to like write, and potentially even like Late Night. And then, like, the Gethard Show, and then, like, a couple other things. And I got hired by zero of them. Mm. I didn't get hired. So I went, like, 2 years without working. I was, like, it's such a peak.
What were you doing for money then?
Man, I was living off my savings from Chicago, and it was dwindling. Like, it was getting really, really low.
What was the max?
But I worked at, I also did customer service at Bonobos, men's pant company.
Rock and roll. What was the amount of money you moved to New York with?
The amount of money I moved to,
like,
New York,
80,000, 100.
Yeah, it was probably around 80, and then it got down to like pretty close to like zero.
Yeah, I mean that's. Yeah,
I mean, like, I had
that's
a part-time
more money than
job.
Anybody's ever moved with the dream of comedy. So that's like the amount of money it
I
takes.
Started getting work like as it like went to zero, and I was like, thank you, God.
Well, it's also I feel like kind
thank
of
you, God.
Sink or swim really is true.
Yeah,
you're like, I gotta figure this out.
Yeah, it's like my parents aren't going to give me money. Like, I'm not
yeah,
one of
shouldn't.
Those. I'm not one of those. Like, my mom, like, they already, like, helped enough and, like, took out loans for me to go to school, which I'm, like, you have to pay back. And, like, it's like, I never was, like, ever, like, I can, like, hit up my parents for money. Like, I never did that. Not zero times. That happened zero times.
Because you're a person.
Yeah, and also it's just, like, that's how my family is. You don't.
It's also how people should be. You should.
Yeah.
You should be an adult.
Yeah, you should pay for your own shit.
Yeah, you're 20. Figure
get
it out.
Get a job.
Yeah. Figure it
get
out.
Get a job.
Figure it out by entry level jobs.
Yeah.
There's a ton of them out there. But at the same time, you know, I get grumpy with my brother who's against raising the minimum wage. Like, I'm like, yo, get a job. But at the same time, like, minimum wage should be $15. Mm-hmm. Still believe that.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I'm not like a crazy, like, oh, get a job. I'm like, get a job, but like, jobs pay appropriate. Please.
Yeah, jobs should pay more. Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay, so you get none of these jobs. 2 years. It's dwindling.
It was like 1 or 2 years, and then I finally...
You're making fun videos. This is when I learned about you, because you're killing it. I think you're so funny.
Oh, thanks,
and
buddy.
This is like when I like find out who you are. Not that I'm just saying, like, at that moment, I'm like, who the fuck is Carmen Christopher? This guy fucking is so funny.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I was just like... when nothing was happening, I was like, I just got to make my own shit.
Yeah.
And then finally, I fucking came out here. I was like, I'm going to move here. This was like 4 years ago. Yeah. And then the day I came out here, from the year previous when I submitted to the Gethard show, they're like, hey, we're going to hire you based off of your submission from last year. And I was like, I'm going back to New York. And then I stayed another 3 years.
Yeah.
I stayed another 3 years. And it was, like, worth it. And, like, working at the Gethard show was fucking so fun. And it's just, like, a dumb show. I love Chris. Like, he took me on the road doing stand-up for my first time, like, doing clubs for the first time. And I learned so much about doing stand-up. And, yeah, like, that was, like, getting that job, like, kind of, like, kick-started me actually, like, having a career, I think, in comedy.
Well, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Now, it's great. I think you're so funny. I watched you the other night.
Oh, thanks, man.
At Club TG. What night was that? Club TG in Los Angeles.
They do it Thursday.
Thursday nights. Yeah. Go check that show out. Yeah. I was popping in to just grab a drink. Summer's dog had just been diagnosed as not paralyzed, and I just wanted to drink. So that's I ran good. Into you, and it was really fun, and you were so funny.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, man. Thanks yeah. a lot.
So now you're out here jamming. Working. It all worked out. It's fun.
It's going. I'm hanging.
Yeah.
Things are good right now. Shit, knock on wood. You never fucking know.
Nah, it's all good, man. It's good. It's never going to stop. As two guys who have only gone up, there's been no moments of doubt.
Yeah. I mean, shit.
All right, Karma Man. Anything else you want to promote real quick?
When's this come out?
Monday.
Oh yeah, this is great then. So on Thursday, May 20th, I had a stand-up special come out called Carmen Christopher Street Special
on Peacock.
And on Thursday, there's going to be an LA screening at 8 p.m. for free at Brain Dead Studios.
Where's that?
It's dope. It's like a really cool movie theater and also venue. It's on like near like West Hollywood Fairfax. It's on a really cool strip, but it's like a legit theater, and they're gonna screen my special. And
people could also watch it on Peacock too.
You could also watch it on Peacock if you can't, if you don't live in Los Angeles. If you do live in Los Angeles and haven't watched it, please come out.
Incredible. I'll put a link in this episode description.
Hell yeah.
Kerman, as a couple of University of Iowa alumni who love Iowa City, and we're a couple of rock and roll guys who clearly are both into what fraternity did you do?
No, I can't even plug that shit. I'm not associating my shit with a fraternity. I never even got. I'm not like if you look
I
at
know,
the.
I know, man. I'm joking.
But also,
I'm
if
joking.
You look at the chapter, like I never got initiated. So I'm technically not even a member.
All right.
It was a year. It was like a year.
You know
year
what?
Of
shout out Falbo's. Shout out Gumby's
Pokey
Pizza.
Pokey sticks, baby. Stick it to me Tuesday. Remember that shit? Stick it
Dude,
to me
I
Tuesday.
Lived above that Gumby's. In Kennedy Plaza.
Do you have a lot of Iowa City fans?
I don't know.
We should corner them. We should do a show out there together.
I just did a show in Iowa City when I was back in Iowa, and it was fucking awesome.
Where at?
It was this place. I don't remember what it's called now, but it used to be the Blue Moose. Like it has gone through like four different.
Do they sell out and shit? How many people were there?
Yeah, it sold out. It was
it's
awesome.
It's a comedy theater?
No, it was a music venue.
I want to do that. I'm going to hit up my fucking... That's
yeah.
dope.
Touring the Midwest rules. All right. Carmen, you rock. I'm glad that we're better friends now. I really think you're incredibly funny. And
thanks, buddy.
Thanks
you
for
too,
doing the
man.
Podcast. Here, so I know. So here's the other thing that I'm sure you're totally aware of. Because you are such a fan of the podcast. You're always.
I honestly don't listen to any podcast.
No, but except mine, because you're always texting me what you love and what's like perfect. And so, you know, obviously, like you can't wait, I'm sure. You know, you keep texting like, how am I going to do this?
I literally don't ever.
Hold on. I'm giving you. I'm just letting you know how much you love it. And everybody knows how much you love it. And you listen to it all the time. So you obviously know I let my guest, you, take us out each episode. So go ahead. Take us out.
Thank you all so much for listening. And I love you. We'll be right back.